Today's gospel reading is Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory in the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Well, last week I kind of confessed to you that the Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus talks about loving your enemies, turning the other cheek, praying for those who abuse you, might be the hardest passage of Scripture to apply in our lives. Maybe not the hardest Scripture to understand, but at the very least, one of the hardest to apply, this challenge to love your enemies, to pray for those who hurt you, that's pretty tough to apply. Well, guess what? We've got another passage that is incredibly difficult, maybe not to apply, but to just flat out understand. I've been doing this ministry thing a few years now, and every time I come to the transfiguration of Jesus, I still say to myself, what in the world is going on here? What is happening in this passage? It seems like such a random assortment of images and events, and yet there's some familiarity to it. What is God trying to say to us through this transfiguration? And it's still in many ways a mystery to me. I'm still learning, I think. And as I read through this passage, I couldn't help but think that it resembled something else that I experience every so often. It kind of reminded me of a dream. Not to say that this is a dream, but it reminded me of how dreams play out. I don't know how often you remember your dreams, but dreams usually play out in a way that isn't exactly like real life. So sometimes in your dream, you start in and there's something very familiar about it. Maybe you're in your home or you're in your church or your place of work or some place that you're familiar with. But then some strange things tend to happen. For instance, there are people that enter your dream that you haven't thought about in years. You know what I'm talking about? You'll be dreaming, and then all of a sudden you see someone walk in that you went to school with, or you see someone walk in that you worked with years ago, and it seems very, very random, and then things start to play out. Random events that unfold, where I literally can remember a couple of times saying in my dream, "This is so weird, I know I'm dreaming right now." Have you ever done that before as well? Believe it or not, I've actually done that. But it plays out strangely because, once again, there are some things that make sense. You see familiar faces, you see familiar surroundings, although even those are a little different than usual, aren't they? And you start to think, I wonder if this dream is telling me something. Scientists really aren't sure what dreams are or what we're to make of them. Sometimes scientists suggest it's just kind of a random outflow of things that are in our subconscious or in our memory. Some may say it's trying to tell us something. You know, who knows exactly? But oftentimes we look at those dreams and try to figure out something about ourselves, right? Like, for instance, I know that I have this recurring dream where I'm getting ready to go on for a play at my high school. And it's opening night, and I have not studied my lines. I don't know my lines, and I don't know what I'm going to do. This is probably similar to a dream that some of you have had where you sit down to take a test and you haven't studied for the test. Have you had that dream before? It's actually a common recurring dream. And at the very least, sometimes we say, well, maybe you don't have a test to take, but at the very least, maybe there's something that you don't feel prepared for. And that's your dream talking to you somehow. That's your subconscious talking to you. Something along those lines. We're not going to get too deeply into the weeds of what dreams mean for us. But it seems like a random assortment of images and memories and things playing out before us. And I just couldn't help but think, that's kind of what this transfiguration passage looks like to me. Maybe it's not a bad road to go down to think of it that way. Some mixture of things that seem normal or mundane, but others very odd and random and surprising. And maybe even that bring us to an emotional state that almost seems irrational. Because you know what it's like to wake up from a dream terrified. Or you know what it's like to wake up in a dream with tears rolling down your face because you dreamt something that saddens you incredibly. Or you know what it's like to wake up in a really good mood because your dream was a really good dream. So maybe the transfiguration is unfolding like a dream, but maybe it's telling us a deep truth, even if we don't understand everything that's going on. We don't understand this seemingly random, or maybe not so random, assortment of events. So let's look at it that way. Let's look at this transfiguration as the unfolding of a dream that really happened in the life of Jesus. Jesus walks up to a mountain to pray. This is the familiar part, right? Jesus walks up a mountain with his disciples to pray. You've heard this part before. You've heard this in the Gospels at different points. Jesus walks up a mountain to pray. This is the normal part of the dream. This is where you launch in and you know who's around you, you know what's going on. Jesus is going somewhere to pray and he takes his disciples to pray with him. And once again, you've seen that passage elsewhere. But things get interesting really quickly, and maybe at that point the disciples do first think to themselves, am I dreaming? Because this is strange. Because Jesus' face was changed and his clothes became bright as lightning. Now that's not something that you experience day to day. That's not something you see walking down the street. Something incredible was happening with Jesus. His face changed, yet he wasn't someone else. It wasn't some random dream sequence where one person then turns into another person. Jesus was still Jesus. It's just that his face was changed and there was something different about him. He became brightened, and the disciples saw the fullness of God's glory in Jesus' face that day. Now, this is interesting. They went up the mountain and they saw the fullness of God's glory in Jesus Christ. You know what I love to tell people? I love to say, I live in a town that has had multiple mountaintop experiences, literally and figuratively. We're in the area of Ridgecrest and Christ Mount and Montreat and many, many other retreat centers where I am guessing thousands and thousands of individuals have had mountaintop experiences worshiping Christ or growing closer to Christ. And so here we are on the mountaintop in a home of mountaintop experiences. And for each of those settings, whether it be at Ridgecrest through a camp or a retreat or a conference or one of our other area conference centers, people had to slow down, didn't they? They had to take off work. They had to stop rushing around in their day-to-day lives to come to a place of retreat, to pray. Maybe that's the first lesson we can draw from this random sequence, is that sometimes we just need to slow down and climb the mountain to pray, to fully experience the glory of Christ. The disciples saw Jesus in his true radiance in this mountaintop experience. At this important point in Jesus' life, the disciples actually saw him for who he was. This wasn't just Jesus walking alongside them. Actually, if you keep reading after this passage, we'll see that the disciples have trouble healing because they weren't in the right spot. Maybe this passage is telling us that these mountaintop experiences are so important because we walk around our daily lives forgetting about the glory of God who walks alongside us day by day. The disciples in this moment were able to see Jesus in his fullness. Frederick Buechner said that every once and so often, something so touching, so incandescent, so alive transfigures the human face that it's almost beyond bearing. Maybe it was in this moment that the disciples were able to fully stop, to fully hone in on Jesus during the time of prayer. We're able to have this experience and truly see the transfigured Jesus, to see Jesus in all his glory. And so my first question to you is, how often do you stop to gaze into the face of Jesus, to see him in all his glory? How often do you stop? How often of your Christian walk is simply a routine, hoping that Jesus is there all along, but not really turning to see his face? Maybe we need more times like that in our lives. That's why I encourage you to come to worship regularly. This is a time for you to enter this place and to see the glory of Christ as we sing together and pray together, hear from God's word, take of the Lord's Supper together. But there's other times where you should simply stop from the busyness of life and be like the disciples and go to pray. And that's where things get even more interesting. This is where the random dream part comes in. Because all of a sudden, there are these two individuals who hadn't been on the scene for quite a few years who just show up. Moses and Elijah are there with Jesus, the central figure of the law, Moses, and one of the central figures of the prophets, Elijah. They show up and they're talking with Jesus. We don't know exactly why it was those two, or why it wasn't, for instance, Moses and Daniel or Isaiah or someone like that, but it was Moses and Elijah who are talking with Jesus about his departure. Now, that's a fascinating topic of conversation. Moses and Elijah and Jesus weren't talking theology over coffee at McDonald's. They had come to talk about Jesus' departure. The reason we celebrate the transfiguration on this day is because next week we start looking to the cross. Of course, the cross is a part of what we do every week in this place, but the scriptures that we will focus on will help remind us that the journey to the cross is just that. It's a journey. Maybe this is the beginning of the journey as Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about what those final moments would look like, maybe what was coming down the road. We know that they were talking to Jesus about his departure, and so I would encourage you, as we prepare for this season of Lent, to think about two kinds of departures. Think about the cross. Think about Jesus' departure and what that means, how his death on the cross and his shed blood was for the forgiveness of our sins, of which we will celebrate here momentarily. But the season of Lent is also about thinking of your own departure, knowing that your end time may come at any time. It's a time to be reminded that our time on this earth is limited, and that we are mortal, and from dust we have come, and to dust we will return. But guess what? Jesus walks the way of suffering with us. As we bear our cross day by day, Jesus is there with us. We do not go at it alone. So I don't know, in many ways, in the same way that Jesus was on this mountaintop thinking about his departure, he wasn't alone. He had his disciples with him. He had Moses and Elijah with him. And he was with them. But the dream is not over. The disciples, they kind of like the way things are going. They kind of want the dream to sort of stop where it is, and so they say, oh, Jesus, well, let's build you a tent, and we'll build one for Moses, and we'll build one for Elijah. Let's build you a tent, and you can just stay like you are. You don't have to go anywhere else. This can be your resting place. We'll build you a tabernacle, a temple right here. Moses, Elijah, Jesus. We even read that they just didn't get it. They offered to build this tent, But as we'll start learning next week, Jesus is on the move. This isn't the end of the story. Just because Jesus is talking about his departure does not mean he has stopped or is giving up his journey. Jesus is on the move, and he has no time to rest or to stay there and become some sort of altar. Jesus has work to do on the journey to the cross. And so this time ends, this transfiguration ends with something else familiar, this seemingly random collection of images. We hear a very familiar phrase in this cloud of smoke. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. You've heard a phrase like that before when Jesus was baptized. God says something a little different this time. He says, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. Our baptism is an important event. When we are baptized, we make the commitment to follow Christ and to serve him and to join with God's church in seeing the mission of Christ carried across the world. But sometimes we need God to pop back on the scene and say, remember, listen to him. Because sometimes the journey of the cross begins and extends well beyond our baptism, and we may forget our journey. Maybe this is God popping in and saying to the disciples, you've been following Jesus for a while now, but you need to be reminded. Listen to him. Listen to him. Answer the call. Sometimes on the journey to the cross, we simply think about ourselves or dread the future. But we need that extra reminder and that extra call to how this journey started. Yes, with baptism, but it will end with the cross. It will end with that crucifixion and looking at Jesus on the cross. That can make things a little more intimidating for us, can't it? If our journey is to be like that of Jesus and we know that we are to carry our cross daily and that we too have a journey to the cross, that's not always the most exciting prospect. So that's where God comes back in and says, remember Jesus who you committed to at your baptism? Listen to him. And that's how we'll make it to the cross. Let's pray together.